Miracles are everywhere.
Let our adventure begin!
Discover PureFlix, your premium streaming service where faith and family values come home.
Ready to have some fun?
The most exclusive selection of quality, wholesome movies and series that will uplift your spirit.
A man can argue whether God exists, but when he looks at his daughters, he knows.
With new arrivals every week.
Unbelievable.
Save big and enjoy the possibilities, like invitations to exclusive theatrical screenings.
I see it, so I believe it.
Find out more by joining today at PureFlix.com.
From the Kendrick Brothers, creators of War Room and Fireproof, comes LifeMark.
Always wondered if my biological parents think about me.
Inspired by a true story.
Imagine how scared she must have been. And then the decision to place you for adoption.
Is that your birth mom?
She wants to meet.
Really?
Yeah. She loved you, and I'm so glad that she made the choice that she did.
LifeMark, starring Kirk Cameron and Alex Kendrick. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13. Only in theaters beginning September 9th. For tickets, go to LifeMarkMovie.com.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, glad to have you with us. You know, in the midst of the campaign and all that is being discussed domestically, sometimes the bouncing ball in foreign affairs gets a little bit lost, and I'm afraid that even I missed a couple of items that are of great importance, and it's one of the reasons why I'm glad to have Gordon G. Chang back with us. Gordon on Twitter, at Gordon G. Chang, and Gordon, always appreciate your sparing of time for us. North Korea is firing missiles into the sea as an act of provocation recently. Give us the details.
Yeah. Hi, Kevin, and thank you very much. Yeah, North Korea fired a ballistic missile off its east coast. Seoul said it was an act of grave provocation, which it is, because the UN does prohibit North Korea from launching ballistic missiles. So really what it was is a short-range missile, and it was the first test since June. And the question is, why this particular moment? And some people suspect, as I do, that they're taking advantage of the world being distracted by the crisis in Ukraine, Vladimir Putin's threats to launch nuclear missiles at Ukraine. So the world is a mess.
Well, there's some at Reuters that are speculating that this is tied to a series of exercises that the South Koreans and the U.S. military were going to enter into, and even possibly a visit by VP Harris.
Yes, well, the vice president is going to the demilitarized zone, that strip of land that separates North and South Korea. But the United States and South Korea conducted a joint exercise before, so the first since about 2018. And you would have thought that the North Koreans were timing it for the exercise. They would have done this earlier. I think they needed the test, and so they're just picking an event. But it could have been anything, Kevin, because we know the North Koreans need the test to validate their designs and to improve them.
Well, and the test is also, as you kind of indicated in your opening statement, a way to get everybody's attention again. And I, as weird as it sounds, I think the dictators there are megalomaniacs. I think they want to have attention, even though much of the world hates them.
Yes, well, this is the Kim regime has always been upset when it's been ignored. And it, to a certain extent, it has been ignored in recent months, largely because the Russians and the Chinese have been engaged in provocations and belligerent acts of their own. So we really haven't paid attention to the Kim regime. And Kim Jong-un, the leader there, just takes offense at us ignoring him.
Yeah. Let's shift gears a little bit. China, obviously, is the much bigger dog on the block there. And you know, it's always interesting here in New York when UN session is in, because you have these people that come and make these speeches. They're largely unreported on, et cetera. But the Chinese representative that gave the speech on China's behalf at the General Assembly this year used some pretty stern language to the rest of the world regarding Taiwan. What did he say, and how was it received?
Yeah, what the important thing here, Kevin, is that Xi Jinping, the Chinese ruler, did not come to the UN, although he did go in the middle of this month to Uzbekistan for the summit of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. And that really shows China's priorities these days. So you have the Chinese foreign minister, he goes to the UN, talks about Taiwan. And again, I think that we have been inured to the hostile language from Beijing. And to a certain extent, because everyone's distracted by Ukraine, people just did not pay attention to what the Chinese were saying. But, you know, obviously we need to because they have been warning us.
Yeah. The person that spoke, I guess it was the foreign minister, said that anybody that interferes with Taiwan will be crushed by history. Obviously, language can get lost in translation, Gordon. What is he meaning there, and how serious do you think he is?
Well, we've heard those words before, and it's largely because China's communist, and so therefore they believe that the Communist Party represents the forces of history. What they're worried about, of course, is the normalization of American support for Taiwan. So they picked a forum in the United States to say that. Really, what we have heard, though, from China is a consistent pattern of hostile statements. And there really was, I thought, an emphasis that they just wanted to tell us what they thought, but it wasn't anything new. So, you know, the Biden administration is just sloughing them off, and sometimes I think that's the right thing to do.
Do you think it's the right thing to do for Biden to be doing it?
Well, at this time, I think that, you know, Biden has made it clear what he wants to do. Unfortunately, his subordinates walked back his most recent comments to 60 Minutes. China has been relatively quiet recently on Taiwan, and that's, I think, due to China's preoccupation with the Shanghai Cooperation Organization Summit, which is really important for Beijing, because they're contesting with Russia for influence in Central Asia. And also Beijing, I think, is preoccupied by the failing Russian war effort in the northern sector of eastern Ukraine. So they've really been diverting their attentions to those issues, those two matters, rather than the Taiwan in recent weeks.
What does the conflict between Ukraine and Russia have that is significant to them? Why would they be focusing on that?
Because Russia is their partner in destabilizing the world. And so anything that affects Russia's ability to do that is considered important to China. And China is going all in supporting the Russians. China's third ranking leader went to Moscow to talk to the State Duma, was very clear and very explicit in Beijing's support for Russia. And also Xi Jinping, when he was in Uzbekistan, which is an important event for China, also reconfirmed China's support for Russia. So right now, I think that we have to assume that these two states are very much on the same page when it comes to Ukraine. One other thing, Kevin.
Yeah.
China's called for a ceasefire negotiations. I think that that's really meant to help the faltering Russian war effort.
In what way? To just give Russia time to rest and recuperate and reorganize?
Yes, I think so, because really what they...
Because they're not calling for an end to hostilities. They're calling for a ceasefire.
Right, and negotiations, and they're calling for the international community to create the situation where those negotiations can start. And I think that that's because that'll give Russia the opportunity to reset itself and to be able to hold on to territories that it has taken from Ukraine since February 24th, the start of the invasion. So I don't see that as China backing away from the Russians. I see that as another sign of partnership with Vladimir Putin.
The two are going hand in hand. Let me ask you this, Gordon. How does this impact our elections in 41 days? Are there candidates campaigning on what we should do foreign policy-wise?
Not really, because we Americans are focused on issues at home,
yeah,
which are immediate and obviously critical.
Significant,
so,
yeah.
So this is a point where foreign policy, once again, is not really getting that much attention. However, if Putin goes ahead with his plans to annex the sections in eastern Ukraine and then uses tactical nuclear weapons to back the Ukrainian forces away, then yes, it's going to become a campaign issue, because
gotcha.
I think that will be a failure of the Biden administration to maintain peace.
Well, Gordon, we always appreciate your insights and your analysis. Thank you for sharing with us today.
Thank you, Kevin.
You got it. Follow him on Twitter at Gordon G. Chang. Kevin McCullough coming right back.